Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. What's happening? What's going on? Three wins on the trot. I can't believe it. And look who's in the chat box. We've got Archie. We got Alif Udin. We've got, Big Man Sam. Big Man Sam, sorry. Who else? Who else? There's a few in there. MJL's there. Fro Grower. Carlito El Guna. Daniel Cronin, the ever-present Daniel Cronin. He's always there. Formerly Nozza's there. Loki 73, Ian Taylor's there. I tell you what, it's all a bit busy in there, isn't it? You know, it's everybody's on it. Srinath Murali's there. K-Man 1867 is there. Let's have a look around. Anybody else? If I've missed you, I'm sorry. Steve-O's there. Yes, Steve-O. Guardian Dandy's there. Cactus Jack 81's there.
See that Arjun... Guardian Dandy?
That's a good name. Yeah, it's a brilliant name, isn't it? Arjun Yadav is there. J-Rob's there. Yamaha John is there. That's brilliant. Matthew Stern is there. Dom Lloyd's there. Meshefik 1 is there. Jove 82 is there. Schwinn is there. I said J Rob, haven't I? Ajit Jair. Ajit Jair's there. Sorry?
Gav is there. Shewo. Is that real? Is that our Gav? Shewo?
I imagine it is. So Shewo.
Shewo, 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 yellow ribbon. Richard Garrett's there. And obviously our Gav. We love our Gav.
I'm going to check this out, Gav, just in case. Hold up.
And 235-100. Squires 2 for you. They're all there. Hiya, guys. How are you? Thank you for joining us. That's all I can say is Welbeck for England. And joining me tonight, we have Danny the GFP. Say hello, Danny.
All right, Jace. I'm being dino-rodded in my rear as we speak.
Yeah. To be fair, okay, you've been dino-rodded and the dirty pirate has stitched us up today. The dirty pirate is supposed to be on tonight. And he comes to at me 5 minutes ago and says, I can't make it. I haven't watched the game. You deserved to get humped 10-1 on Sunday, Pirate. You deserved it. Carpenter out. Simon Jordan, owner of Crystal Palace, is there as well. I love Simon Jordan. Also joining us, we've got Josh. Josh, say hello.
Hello.
How the devil are you?
Very well, thank you. I don't think it's right if me and Chris turn up on a podcast together.
That'll be two shit beards too many, won't it?
Whoa. I don't know if Chris can grow a beard, to be fair.
I think it's stick on. AFC Cam and Corey Sealers are there as well. If I've missed you guys, I do apologise. Try to get through to you as we go along with the pod. Okay, let's kick off. Let's just get into this. Milan at home, second leg, carrying a 2-0 victory into this one. And the lineup, Josh, that was a hell of a strong lineup today. That's the first team, yeah?
Yeah, more or less. I think you could have moaned about maybe seeing too much attacking flair in that side. But after the first game, it just looked like, you know, we just needed to be able to control possession. And I wouldn't have thought Milan would have rolled over, so to speak. But it was a case of keep the ball and play through the 90 minutes and we should be able to get through the game. But yeah, I had no complaints about the lineup. Arsenal don't have a game at the weekend either. So these guys are going straight off to international duty after that. So there's no excuse for not playing our full strength side.
I don't think you could take this one lightly at all. I mean, as I mentioned the pod this week, I was confident about it, but yeah, they're no mugs either. They're no mugs either. I was really happy to see that strong side. Danny, the game kicks off. Milan started really fast. Silva has an early miss, but my God, he found acres of space. What were you thinking at that point?
I was worried because they know they've got to get two goals back. They won at the weekend. They had 13 games undefeated. We beat them. They won again. So they're going to be thinking, well, maybe it's just a one-off blip. That we haven't got our most prolific striker playing. Our other most prolific striker is cup-tied. We've had a really bad run of recent form, but then on the other hand, they've got to be thinking, hold on, they've just put back-to-back decent wins. Wenger is making astute tactical decisions, which I thought I'd never see the likes of. And they've probably thought, we're going to go for this. They're up for it. We can do it. But their pace, they had no pace, did they? They haven't got a goal scorer who's going to bang them in 25 goals a season. And you can't come to the likes of Arsenal unless you've got a top-rated striker and expect to win. And that, I don't think they brought anything. I mean, when the fact they had Bonaventura on the bench, you're thinking, oh, dear, he's probably one of your best players and he isn't playing. Yeah, you've got to worry. When you've got someone like Barini, where's Barini? Did they bring Barini on?
Barini was
playing right back.
Yeah. Oh, right back, that was it, yeah.
He was at Sunderland last season when they got relegated, and Sunderland are currently bottom of the Championship and going to get relegated again. And he's their dodgy-haired striker that he's on loan at Milan. Are you thinking, I had him down for first goal scorer in the first game, they're playing him at right back. What's going on with that? Whether it's right wing back or whatever it was, I don't know. But I just thought, yeah, they're going to try, but I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, Silva, what did he cost? 30-odd million quid? He's done bugger all.
Yeah, he can't keep players, can he? Josh, Milan started fast. We came back into it. Cause of the header from a corner went high, but he injured himself. And not long afterwards, he had to go off for Chambers coming on. Were you a bit concerned by that?
Concerned that Koscielny got injured a little bit. I mean, he probably won't go on international duty if his hips flared up again. Not a huge... Well, it's like you guys were discussing on the pod. We've got to get used to Koscielny not being available for every game because he's not available for every game now with his Achilles and now with his hip as well. It's, you know, the guy is unfortunately falling apart. And getting someone like Callum Chambers coming in, who I thought, although didn't play... I mean, he didn't play badly, let's put it that way. He didn't necessarily have a good game in the return, in the first game. But I think with him coming in, I thought, yeah, happy to see him come in because he's in good form at the moment. And that's what I'd fully expected him to do, come in. And there's a bit more pace around as well. And next to Monreal, he's got a very assured, player next to him who... can talk him through the game if necessary. But to be honest, I think he just looks like he's stepping up now because he can see that there's a chance for him.
I thought he played well first game. I've got to be honest there. Yeah. I thought he did all right, you know. I don't think there's been much wrong with him recently. I don't see a dip in performance if he replaces Koscielny or Mustafi at all because they're as liable to make a ricket as anybody else. You know, and I think there's a continuity there now, which is quite nice. Dan, after the early sort of Milan number, turn the blocks quickly, we started to dominate the game. You had one particular piece of play between Ramsey, Ozil and Mkhitaryan, which is just fantastic. Welbeck followed up with a chance. You know, we were on top. We were on top of that game and cruising for the first 25, 30 minutes. What were your thoughts on it?
It was a strange kind of... I've not seen this in a game before. If you're listening on via iTunes, you're not going to get what I'm doing with my hands. We've got Wilshere playing in the middle, and then you had Mkhitaryan and Ozil going behind him and then running up in front of him. It's like Wilshere was the one in the middle that everyone was pivoting around. I thought normally you're going to have Wilshere is going to be the one all the time that is dropping back into a midfield three, which we did see in the second half. But I was often surprised to see it was Welbeck, then it was Wilshere, and then it was Mkhitaryan and Ozil all the way back. And then when we were attacking, those two would run past him and Wilshere would stay in the same kind of position. Occasionally, they did drop back into the midfield three. But I don't know if that's a new thing that they've told him. And then I know in the second half, Ozil went over to the left-hand side and we're coming to those other tactics later. But I just thought the way that those three, the midfield three, because I originally saw that midfield three of Xhaka, Ramsey and Wilshere and thought, oh, I'd like to have seen Elneny in there, but they all did fantastic. Really happy with every single one of their performances. I mean, even at some points, you must have looked at Jack Wilshere tonight and gone, oh, yeah, he's doing all right tonight.
Not in the first half.
So if you want, so Danny, quick question for you. If you wanted Elneny to play, who of that front three or midfield three are you taking out?
Before I saw the game and before Xhaka's recent run of half decent form, I'd have said take Xhaka out and play Elneny as the anchor between the two centre backs and those two playing in midfield, which is the role that Xhaka's been asked to do so many times, but so many times he's struggled to do it. And Elneny's been doing it really well lately, but it seemed tonight that Xhaka seems to have, like someone sent a question into the podcast on Tuesday and said, do you reckon the team have been having secret training sessions behind Wenger's back? Because at times tonight, it seemed like we were doing a few little things like that I hadn't expected. Do you agree?
I think what we were doing in the game in general for the Europa League compared to our league form is just, you know, completely two poles apart. I think it's a case there's not really anything to go for in the league, to be honest.
Do you think it's because we're getting more space? Because that old fable of European football, you get more time on the ball. I think that we saw that at the away leg in Milan, and we saw it again tonight, that some of those midfield players, the middle three, they got so much more time to do stuff.
I think it's a bit of both. I think the fact that if you're up for a game more, you're more likely to go and find the space in order to move around. But you don't see, even against Watford, who gave us space, you know, we were easily able to knock it around the likes of Capu and who's the other one that we were
with?
Decore.
Yeah,
they were easily knocking it around them, but there wasn't that kind of fluidity that we saw tonight and we saw in the previous leg as well. But
I think there's more pace in that Watford team. I think that's the difference. You know, you haven't got a massive amount of pace in the AC Milan team. That's the truth of the matter. Josh, after 36 minutes, the shock. Chalhanoglu. Shoots from distance and beats Ospina like a little girl. Is Ospina at fault or is it just a great shot?
So Hakan has got that in his locker. He does it. He did it all the time for the likes of Leverkusen and AC Milan. He hasn't really shone as much as he did really in the Bundesliga, but I would say to him that, to be honest, it's a great strike, really good strike. There's a couple of players that should be closing him down for that. I think Xhaka is probably third on the list of people that should be closing him down. But ultimately, he's the first one to actually get anywhere near him. I just think, yeah, I don't know, is the keeper at fault? I mean, I don't know if Cech saves it. We'll put it that way. But overall, I just think it's a really good shot. Really good shot from him. And it's not the only thing you could have done to mitigate it is the fact that you know he's got that in his locker and that someone should have closed him down quicker.
Fair enough. Dan, your opinion on it? Does Ospina have to do better? Or is it just a case of great shot, poor closing down?
Yeah, it's definitely poor closing down because you could see that given a little bit more time, if he hadn't shot from so far out, that Bellerin would have come in from the right. Xhaka maybe would have come back a little bit. One of the centre defenders may have got a little bit closer to it and given him less of an angle to shoot from. But when you've got a shot like that, sometimes things like there's nothing you can do about it. They're just going to go in. Hell of a shot. And I don't really blame Dave No Neck Bin Man for that at all.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough.
Livened the game up, if anything.
It did, because even though with all the possession, funny enough, it's part of the next note, even with all the possession we'd had before that, we played some really nice stuff. It hadn't been incisive enough. And that goal it lit the touch paper and the game exploded for the next 9-10 minutes. Just before the goal, we'd seen Barini try to dive outside the box from from coming quite close to Nacho. And it kind of set the tone to what was to follow. We go to the... Danny, I'm going to come to you first, then back to Josh. We go into the penalty box. Rodriguez comes just behind Welbeck as Welbeck's running away from goal. There's a little bit of a touch. There's a little bit of an arm. And Welbeck goes over. Does Welbeck dive?
Oh, yeah, does he? I stood up and gave him a 7.2. And I thought, well, these things happen to us all the time. And it's not something we should be proud of. But if you're gonna leave a trailing arm, like the old trailing leg, if you're gonna leave a trailing arm and you're gonna put your arm around the player as the player is turning, you're gonna have to expect the player to go down. A little bit like at the weekend we saw Anita Dashley then. Maitland-Niles, that wasn't, for me, that was a harsh penalty because he just bent over like you're doing your shoelace stuff. He left his arse hanging out and he chipped over his arse. It wasn't a foul penalty, but you got in the player's way. So maybe Welbeck definitely made the most of it. But if that had been us conceding a penalty like that, I wouldn't have been happy.
Well, fuck them. They were diving about all last week. Okay, they go down quick in the tramp on a sandwich. So fuck them. And I'm sick and tired of those going against us. So well done, Danny Welbeck. You are a god. You are a god. Josh, you're taking it. Go on.
Well, at least the fifth official did something. I'll give him that.
You see the grief they gave him at half-time.
He was the one that gave him.
Walking back at half-time, one of the players was shouting at him and he just walked like that with his head down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that... I can't come on here a couple of weeks ago and, you know, bemoan penalties that have been identical but given against us and then come on and, you know, get some kind of moral high ground because it's happened for us. No, it's a dive. It's a dive. But
it is, but I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. It is so soft. So soft as a penalty. You could see why it's given. That's the only thing I could say.
It's strange, okay? You'll get, you know, Michael Owen made a career out of doing that.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. He's going nowhere.
If Barcelona coach is watching that, they're going to sign Danny Welbeck up. Let's be honest. Every big team, you know, last season we played Bayern Munich and Lewandowski does exactly the same thing and get Koscielny sent off.
Yeah, we played PSG. Alexis Sanchez went down quicker than, as you say, a tramp on a sandwich. And we got a penalty out of it and everyone was quite happy. But
yeah, so fuck up.
I mean, it justifies the reason why it's been called up for the England team to replace Harry Kane. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it does. Dan, Welbeck slots away the penalty. Well, you know, no problems. Great. It's 1-1. They come back and attack us. And Chambers is defending. He's got his arms in a strange position there. Up. Ball hits the arm. I mean, and they're trying to claim a penalty on that. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, first of all, I'd like to give Danny Welbeck a round of applause for telegraphing the penalty to the wrong place. That's exactly what you do. He made it look like he was going right. He tucked it. You see him before he took the penalty, he was staring at the ball. He was doing all kind of David Blaine shit to the ball. And no, Yuri Geller, wasn't it? Yuri Geller when he made the ball move for England-Scotland in Euro 96 from the helicopter. Just Google it, people. It's funny. Yeah, so the wife, I thought, he's actually going to score this. I was very confident. At first, I thought, oh, why is Welbeck going to take it? But well done to Welbeck. The man under pressure, no goals in 10 games, and he's gone and done that. Just shows if a player gets a run of games that he can show that he's a half-decent player still. As for the Chambers thing, it's like a banana scoop. It hit his foot, went up his leg, up and hit him on the underside of the arm. Not even close to a penalty. They were just hoping. They probably thought, well, the blind fifth official, the seventh, the 12th official, whichever number it is behind the back of the goal, they probably thought, well, if he's given that, he might as well give this because the first one wasn't a penalty. In fact, that probably would be more of a penalty, but it wasn't. It was ball to art, ball to under, that, ball to bingo wing, not bingo wing to ball.
Oh, God. Josh, you're taking it?
As Danny says, ball to bingo wing. So eloquently put it.
At this point, the game's gone nuts. You got the Milan players are losing their heads. It's quite hilarious. You know, you sat there watching the game and you just think, you bunch of dickheads, I'm loving this. You know, they were really losing their shit. Barini gets yellow carded. There are three yellow cards in the space of 4 or 5 minutes. It was all going off. Ospina makes a really good save from Silva. It was offside anyway. Mkhitaryan ahead after some great work from Welbeck. And I put in the chat in our group on WhatsApp, am I being harsh or is this game passing Jack by? Because his movement wasn't good. He wasn't really involved that much. And then he lets off a rocket. Dan, you're a big Jack fan. That shot at the end of the second half. Great save from Donnarumma. It had to be good because it was a cracking shot, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's going to feel a little bit unlucky for that. But see, I've noticed Jack has changed his game. You get many players playing in and around that 10 role. Whenever they get the ball, they think it's their job, like Xhaka does it and Coughlin used to do it. They think it's their job to have a shot on goal. Jack hardly ever does that now. Jack will always be looking for some other player making a run to pass it off to do a 1-2 with, like he did for the third goal. I'm just really impressed with the way that Jack has adapted his game to be a very unselfish, a very helping other players do it. And yeah, so he's a bit unlucky that he didn't go in, but it looks like he placed it, didn't it? Left foot, was it bottom right? He placed it. I think if he'd put a little bit more power behind that and gone up a little bit, sometimes
there was enough power. He put his laces through that.
Yeah, to go up, not down, because the goalkeeper can always reach. Like there was some goalkeeper said, if you put it in the top corner every time, no goalkeeper is going to reach that because they're usually centralised in the goal. But I do think that, like Welbeck had one of those as well, where he put it into into his bottom left, the goalkeeper's bottom right in the first half. And I'm thinking, when players do that, are they doing that because they want to make sure that it's on target? You wouldn't get people like Wright and Henry and Pete and Bergkamp always doing that. They would sometimes go, well, I know, if I'm going to use a little bit of skill here, I can plonk that in a corner and try and put it out of the way of the goalie rather than just, like with Jack's one, I think he had, he was running, he looked up, then he looked down and then he had his shot. I think he had to look. So it just shows that he's not a natural goal scorer, which isn't his job, but it would have been lovely if he'd gotten in.
Oh, come on, okay? What? Enough of this shit of it's not so-and-so's job. If you play in a football pitch, it's your job to make tackles, score goals, get assists, okay?
No, I'd rather him lay off
He had a terrible first half, Jack Wilshere. He wasn't involved in the game. Second half, he's a different player. He was great second half.
I thought he was good first half and even better second half.
Okay, you're a fan boy.
They were all good the first half. Josh wasn't a bad player.
Josh,
yes,
your view on that shot, because I thought it was a great shot from him, from somebody who hadn't really been in the game, to come and pick that up and just bang. Good save from Donnarumma as well.
Yeah, he's got that in his locker. Before we had Jack was a player that could hit one from distance. I remember the two goals he got for England against Slovenia, I think it was Slovenia or Slovakia, one of those two countries, but... Yeah, he was. He's able to hit a shot and put a lot of venom behind it. Whether or not that's coached out of him by Arsene, I don't know.
Come on! Let's stick to the facts. We hear so much of this. It's been coached out of them. It's been thing. You're either good at this sort of thing or you're not. Okay.
I don't know. I just seeing Wenger's reaction when Xhaka scored. He looked absolutely livid that he'd taken a shot from 30 yards. But he was.
He was probably bemused that Donnarumma let it go in that way.
But yeah, I would. Let's put it this way. I think my biggest problem with Jack Wilshere is when there's an opportunity to play a one touch pass, he won't. And he will take, he's two touch Jack at least. And it's not because he needs two touches to control it or four, like Welbeck does. This is a decent, good technical player. And he can play those balls out and just keep the tempo going. But I think he just wants to control everything and he's just a control freak. And you're like, mate, you know, we've got better players than you that can control a tempo. That's why we've got Xhaka in. He's consistent in terms of Xhaka has played almost every game for us this season and hasn't broken down. Whereas Jack Wilshere, he'd have broken down if we're playing him week in, week out at the same type of role as Xhaka's playing for us. That's the guy that's dictating our tempo now. And Jack is just... It's infuriating because you know how good he is. And I think that's what makes everybody so mad or polarized on their view of Jack Wilshere is we know he can be good and we know he's got that in him. But yeah, I don't really know.
I think tonight's game is the perfect example of how effective he can be. Second half, thought he really affected the game. You know, he was in amongst it. He was good on the ball. You know, I totally agree with you on the one-touch stuff. I think, you know, just slip and move. He doesn't do that enough. It's almost Santi-esque. Santi would give a ball and he wouldn't move afterwards. And, you know, but the second half, he saw a different side to his game and he was very good second half. I really enjoyed watching him second half. There was a couple of pickup and drives that he did, you know, which is his game. And his technical ability is top-notch. this is the thing. I totally agree with you there. His technical ability when he's on the ball is superb. Simplify it. Who's the runners? Because there were runners there tonight. Dan, that was the end of the first half. You had Gattuso screaming at the screaming at the officials.
One time he ran back, went stormed back to his seat, sat down and got straight back up again and went, there you go, I'm back on it.
How can you not love Gattuso?
When he's taking both your legs out and you never play football again. Man was a mental case. Remember, he was at Rangers. My God, didn't fuck with him, did you?
Rangers loved him. The Rangers fans still love him. He's still a cult hero. In fact, his wife's Scottish, isn't she? You know, he's what a guy. Second half starts, Dan. Ramsey has a shot. Great save from Donnarumma. Some really nice interplay leading up to it. Mkhitaryan has a shot. Suso, it really starts off again. Were you nervous going into the second half? And what did you make of the first kind of 10 minutes?
I thought they were going to come out and maybe make a couple of substitutions because you could see that we changed our formation, Ozil and Mkhitaryan, not changed our formation, changed our way of pressing. I think in the first leg that Ozil was more attacking, as was Mkhitaryan. But in the second leg, everyone seems to be a little bit more compact in midfield. Everyone was just being a little bit more careful. You didn't have Sanchez there giving the ball away 88 times in the game or however many times he's averaging at the moment for them lot. And I think it was just quite a lot of the time, it was just keep possession of the ball, stop them having it. And I thought, because just looked at the second half, someone mentioned it in the chat box, they got booked 39, 40, 41, 42. And I'm thinking, well, they're either going to have to start substituting those players, or they have to tell those players to go easy, because otherwise you're going to see someone getting sent off. So I thought they'd come out and do more than what they did. They brought on that bloke for Blackburn. You know, when you bring on an ex-Blackburn player, you're not really, that's it, yeah. When you bring him on and you're thinking, oh, well, I didn't really rate him that much when he was at Blackburn. Don't really rate him much now. But only when they brought on Bonaventura, that's when I thought, oh, here we go. A little bit of skill in the midfield for them, hoping that he's going to come on and change it. But didn't really, did he? We just we contained them more and we went on. And with a magnificent goal from Xhaka. Have we come to that yet?
No, we haven't come to that yet.
I don't know what happened after that. Then you'd have to surprise us later.
Okay, we'll surprise you. Josh, Ramsey skied a shot and Barini goes through him after the fact. Should that have been the second yellow?
I didn't get a proper angle of how he came in, or at least BT didn't show a proper angle, because he looked like he came in with a scissor, Barini, for a block. But it'd be a harsh yellow, is what I'd say. Depends how much you love Aaron Ramsey to say whether or not it's a foul on him, mate. I think he's got the ball. He's managed to take a shot away. No, it's a come together of two players.
Fair enough. It's the opinion I was after. Dan Cotrone, he, terrible miss. You had Suso, then you had Suso booked for a dive.
He was unlucky, I think.
Unlucky for the time.
No, he wasn't unlucky. I just remember it was against Mustafi. First angle, I thought it was unlucky. Second angle, you saw Mustafi was there and you saw the player was there. There was no contact at all. So, no, that was a definite dive. I don't know what I was thinking of.
To be fair, the way they dived off the ball at times, you know, and they weren't as bad as the first leg. I thought they totally justified Welbeck going down.
I mean, if he'd have chucked in a half pike, you know, he might have got away with it, but sloppy entry.
Yeah.
Story Josh, of your life.
Hey, calm down. Josh, it was one point in the second half, Bonucci picks the ball at the defence and it was a beautiful charge forward with a magnificent cross and the Kalinic header straight at Ospina. It deserves something better.
Yeah, I was worried when Kalinic came on, put it this way, Danny, after his run with Fiorentina. He is a decent striker since leaving Blackburn Rovers. Who'd have thought it? But yeah, not a great header, but he should have done better with it. I think if he takes half a step back, then Ospina is super worried about what's happening in front of him. But overall, I think, yeah, Bonucci was just showing about how good he was and how important it was for Danny Welbeck to be charging him down, basically, because that was the first line of their attack and, you know, the first line of our defense and coming together. But yeah, I was very happy that Bonucci wasn't able to have such an influence on the game as he could have had. And I think that is actually credit down to us playing Welbeck.
I totally agree. I Bonucci's great on the ball. You know, he's fantastic on the ball. And, you know, he's got that will to go forward. And I think Welbeck works really hard tonight. Dan, but I'll ask you a question. I want you to pass straight to Josh afterwards because I'll get a nip off for 1-2 seconds. Mkhitaryan was substituted for Elneny after that point. What do you make of Mkhitaryan's performance?
Yeah, he's really good. Hadn't expected him to have the same kind of impact as he did in the first game because we were playing a slightly more compact midfield, like I was saying earlier. But there again, Milan knew they had to come there and they had to score at least 2 goals. So that kind of freed up our players to go and express themselves a little bit more. Is he gone? Jack Wilshere was absolutely magnificent in midfield. Ramsey was shit. So everyone else had to make up for the fact that Ramsey it was dog shit. And that's why he's been dropped by the Welsh squad, isn't it, Josh?
That's a little niggle for him, isn't it? Just for him to get back.
We'll get away with it.
No, Ramsey's injured. That's why he's not going to Wales.
He's got a little operation, hasn't he?
He is. Yeah. I assume he's going to come back looking like Simon Collins after his root canal this week. I thought Mkhitaryan had a really good game, to be honest. I think AC Milan had seen the threat that he caused in the first game and they were closing him down a lot quicker when he was trying to get his shots away. But I'm really impressed with Mkhitaryan this season since he's come in. I think in the league he's been a little bit slower, but in Europe he looks at least 11 times the player, shirt number reference. Than he has in the league. But Jace, what did you reckon to Mickey?
We were just saying how good Ramsey is.
I'll always listen back to it, and I will have my revenge on you. No, I dread to think what's been said. Yeah, I thought Mkhitaryan a very similar game to last week, where he was hot and cold. He's either magnificent on the ball or he's giving the ball away cheaply. But is that what you get from that type of player? You know, when he was at Dortmund, every time I'd seen him at Dortmund, he was either involved in everything and very good, or he was missing. And I saw nothing different from him today. He's great on the ball, not quite as effective as he was last week, obviously. But I think it was the right substitution to make. You know, he worked hard, but he wasn't as effective as he was last week. And I think that's the player we've bought.
What I did find intriguing is the fact he got caught offside at least twice. So the fact he's pushing their back line, it's just a bit weird from what I'd see as a player that I would call more of just a wide playmaker. Very rare for them to be looking to go in behind.
But this is the thing, okay? It was lazy as well, wasn't it? He was looking across the line and, you know...
Yeah, I think one was, you know, looking at it again and you're getting there. He did that against Watford as well, didn't he? He was caught by a... waiting. We've already brought his name up before, but, you know, Michael Owen, stand offside and wait for the back four to drop to your level when the ball's played. And I think whether or not he's trying to do that or it is just laziness, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to watch him for a lot more and see what his games are really about when he actually gets through there. But
I think this is the one thing, you know, when he came to us, I was a bit concerned. I thought, he's not a player who I naturally sort of empathize with. But when you can see when he's on the ball, you can see his quality. It oozes through. Mm. He's got real vision. His movement is good off the ball. I find, okay, there are a few offsides, etc. He's not going to, you know, he's never going to be perfect. That's not the type of guy he is. But, you know, how many games he played for so far?
None.
You know, it's not that many, is it? He needs time to settle into the squad. And I think...
Not playing shit football. That's what he needs to get used to. Dull, boring, no attacking, no passion, no flair football.
Absolutely, but this is the thing, you know, we're going to have to wait a while to see how he settles in. This time next year, we'll know what sort of player we've got in our hands. Right, we've got JH in the box. We've got, oh, I mentioned the AFC Cam, but he can have two shout-outs because we like him. We've got Keith Samuels in the box. We've got Srinath Murali. Rudy Rastlos is there. Frank Gunner's there. Sam Dewhurst's there. Charles Cherian's there. Jesse Hitman's there. Oh, there's a Sidhu is there. Sidhu 7549. David Keith is there. Love David Keith. He's always there. No Nick Grimm required is there. Have I mentioned formerly Noza? I don't know what the hell I'm doing tonight, guys. As usual, it's all like gone off.
Like KJ's turned up late. He's in trouble.
Well, you know, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. Fly KJ is there. We love Fly KJ. Matthew Stern. Who else? Oh, there's a few others in there. Right, guys.
Gav is back under Gav Char. That's him. He just messaged me.
Oh, that's it. Oh, Gav, yes. Gav.
I had a fun podcast on Tuesday with Gav and Shovel. If you haven't heard it, people, we've had so many people messages on Twitter and say that is one of the best podcasts we've done in ages. Shovel was an absolute gent, and there are nearly 2.5 hours of us just reminiscing about the old days and talking shit. It was brilliant.
He was very good. He was very good, Shovel was. And he was a lovely guy as well. He was a lovely guy. We've got Chandru Ramamurthy there. We've got Michael Harriman there. We've got Football Einsteins there. Ooh, Football Einsteins, hello. We got a lovely chat box tonight. As I was about to say, we've got a lovely box. That's not going to go well.
Football Einsteins, 32.
John will be in there quicker than...
He said, what's going on? Czech is saving penalties and Welbeck is scoring goals. Arsenal are in the upside down.
I know. It's bonkers, isn't it? Absolutely bonkers. Right, guys, we've only got 39 likes. Come on, press the button. You know what to do.
Jason will take off an item of clothing. Oh, we can't say that on YouTube anymore, can we? He'll put extra clothing on.
Oh, look, Chris Lodato's there. Chris Lodato's there. We love the Chris Lodato. Srinath Murali, we'll ask that later. Guys, you know, some likes would be really appreciated and 5-star reviews.
We've had three new iTunes reviews since you've been moaning at people. We're approaching 750,000 views on YouTube and nearly 1 million on iTunes, and we've had in total 70 reviews for nearly 2 million views. Thanks.
Yeah, come on, get with the program. Stop messing about. Leave us a 5-star review, please. Come on, we do this for nothing. Get into action. Crying out loud. What's going on with the world?
All right,
Fly KJ just smashed the hell out of it. I'm loving it. Kevin Urenda's there. Kev, we'll ask our question a bit later. Right, okay, so you mentioned this earlier on, as per usual. Pal, Danny, the goal.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam Ruth says as well. Let's give Sam Ruth a shout out as well. Talk about Xhaka's goal.
Wow, I've just got it on the TV here at the moment. It's absolutely. Somebody on the right just gives it to him, and I think that each one of those stripes at the Emirates is about 6 yards. So it looks like he's done it from 6, 12, 18, 24, about 28 yards out, almost just off to one side. But someone's given him the ball, and he's gone. Well, there's only four people in front of me, and there's only four people in another row behind that. And then there's the goalkeeper. I don't know if maybe Welbeck had partly made the goalkeeper unsighted, that he didn't know it was coming, but he just whacked it like he does these every now and then. It's his third goal for us this season, I think. Is it Donnarumma? I always get the Donnarumma. Yeah, Donnarumma, the goalkeeper. He's only 19 still. My God, what a player. But he got it, and it's just bad bit of catching. He should have either punched it away or caught it, but he tried to do a little bit of both. Went up in the air. I was hoping it was going to backspin, and then Welbeck could have slid in, and then hopefully that would have helped him get towards his hat trick tonight, because that just for the future of for him at the club and his own well-being and happiness. And it went in. It's very rare that you'll see. He is a top-class goalkeeper making an error like that, but like the kid's only 19. I mean, when I was 19, I was still sleeping in all day and playing with Thundercats.
Thundercats.
It wasn't Thundercats, actually. I don't know what it was. I was probably playing Jimmy White Snook on the Amiga. That's what I was doing.
Right, stop boring me with Thundercats.
Sorry.
Josh, what do you think?
Well, with the Xhaka goal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if we're not going to close down Çalhanoğlu, then...
it's not just me.
Yeah. then they didn't close him down. And what a strike. It just seemed like he was, you know, just getting a bit bored by passing it around a bit, like as he does. And he just decided to absolutely lump it. And it's good for him. I think the bounce, just as Donnarumma's going down, is what doesn't help him, because it does just skim off the surface about 5 yards in front of him, which is always where they say, you know, best place to, if you're going to drive a low shot, is just to get it bounced before the keeper, just try and pop it over him. And yeah. Is that a howler? I'm not really sure. I wouldn't say it's a howler, so to speak, but, you know, not like a Courtois or a De Gea. But I think it was just unfortunate from the guy. But yeah, he's going to be a fantastic goalkeeper anyway. I don't think I'll hold him up. Yeah, absolutely. But at 19, he can still get better and his ceiling is going to be insane. But yeah, Xhaka's goal, absolutely superb. And just put us back in control.
It did. It took the sting out of the game, didn't it? And the lovely thing about it was Welbeck was following up. He was there looking for the spill. He was following up. He didn't need to take it, obviously. But, you know, you could see him when they showed it again, you could see him coming in, shooting in, hungry, you know, looking for work and looking to get in the end of something. So that was really nice as well. We then saw Ozil go off for Kolasinac. Now, as you said, Dan, he didn't look happy. And I want you both of your opinions on this. The right move by Wenger. And are you happy that Ozil's not happy being subbed?
Are you asking?
Both of you. You first.
It is exactly the right thing to do. Wenger has done that now in the last three games. I said this on the podcast on Tuesday, that it is magnificent to see that Wenger is going, right, we've got a lead here, let's keep it. He did it at their place, he did it against Watford, and now he's done it again here. That is the exact right thing to do. And sometimes Ozil does need a kick up the arse, because he is almost the first name on the team sheet for us so often, whether he deserves it or not. He's had, since he signed his contract, I think he's played 11 games, his contract extension. He's had a couple of good games out of all of those. And I do think now that we have got Mkhitaryan and Ramsey, and even Welbeck can drop back into that position, there is more competition for places. So he needs to know you're not going to play every 90 minutes the whole game. Plus, if the game is nearly over anyway, might as well bring on the people, shore the game up, give someone else a run out, and make sure that, I mean, Milan are a dirty bunch of bastards, and you want to make sure that they don't go sliding in and try and break his leg like that. And what was it? It was the, what minute did he go off? 79th minute. And you've only got 11 minutes to go. He can't be unhappy at that. But he was. But he shouldn't have been. Josh?
Yeah, it's the right move to take him off for all the points that you said. Did he look unhappy? No, I don't think he did, to be honest. Ozil's very rarely smiles on the field, or in general. He's not like Alexis Sanchez that we've had before. He's all smiles and then, you know, turns from happy to sad within, you know, a second or two. I don't think he looked peeved. I'll give him that. But I don't think he was unhappy. I think he's been subbed off. And what do you want a player? A player looks happy coming off the field when we're winning a game and there's a chance for a goal or an assist. I think overall, I wouldn't look too much into it. When I saw him coming off, I was thinking back to all the other players of his, you know, similar ilk, like a Berbatov or maybe like a Pirlo, those lackadaisical players, and who don't really show a huge amount of emotion. And that was it was an emotionless coming off. I thought Ozil was very good in the game. Just keeping the tempo flowing and getting the forward line to accelerate at the right times and slow down at the right times. But I think overall, then yeah, I think the fact that, as you say, Ozil doesn't really look happy at the best of times, even when he's scoring goals. He's just a shy guy. So he's never really shown expression on his face, to be honest. But I don't know what you think about that, Jess.
He's an introvert, isn't he? You know, he's never going to be the most gregarious guy in the park. I totally agree with you. He did keep the game ticking over. I think, you know, Rudy mentioned earlier on, he thought Jack and Ramsey were shit. I thought that was a bit harsh. I don't think Ramsey was effective tonight as he has been, but always in those areas, keeping the ball flowing. And I think Ozil did that very well as well tonight. You know, no matter what this Milan side, no matter what you think of this Milan side, we beat them 3-1 tonight, but through the next round. You know, the last home leg in the Europa League, we lost to Ostersunds. And that was a toilet performance. But, you know, I thought we played well for the majority of the game. And I think they, you know, they did okay. They huffed and puffed a lot. They created a few chances, nothing much came of it. Josh, to you, and then back to Danny on this one. The Welbeck goal. Really good work from... Welbeck starts to move off, down to Jack. Jack really calmed down on the touchline, picks out his man to Ramsey. Ramsey header, Donnarumma save, and Welbeck scoops it up and puts it away.
Yeah, as you said... earlier with the Xhaka goal, Welbeck following someone else in, not trusting that they're going to be able to put it in, which, to be fair, for some of our finishing this season, I'd run in as well to make sure that they're actually going to put it in.
Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it?
Exactly. Never trust anybody when it comes around to the box. There's always a chance you'll be able to get on the end of it. And yeah, really happy for him to get a goal that was less dubious in its build-up play, shall we say, for Danny to get that goal. But yeah, I think great work from all three of those players in the build-up from that, because it was Mustafi, wasn't it, that won the ball?
Yeah.
Played it straight out to Welbeck, who bounces it off. And yeah, it's just a really, really good counter-attack, I thought. And yeah, again, goalkeeper's not at fault. I think just a really good, well-rounded finish there. I think Ramsey's very unlucky not to score. He just plays it straight down the keeper's throat. But well done from Welbeck as well. Danny, what did you reckon to the goal?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it again. Now, I remember thinking at the time that the magnificent goalkeeping by Donnarumma there, because he had come to his near post to try and block off the Wilshere run. And then as he'd realised, oh, shit, Wilshere's put it over me. But meantime, there's three AC Milan players milling in and around the eight-yard box. And then he's gone from the near post, gone right the way to halfway across the goal, and Ramsey's headed the ball at halfway across the thing, the goal. So if Ramsey would have headed it into the corner, then Ramsey would have got the goal. But for Donnarumma to make that, I mean, that kind of athleticism is what we're missing from the from Petr Cech now. Because Cech's getting old and this kid's only 19, and what a magnificent player he's going to be. And he's got his brother. They signed his brother in the summer as well. So his brother, the other day I saw Donnarumma on the bench, I thought, excellent, they're not playing their gut. Then I realised, oh, that's his brother. So they got them both there. So he's just having a great time there. It's just nice that when he parried it away, Welbeck was there, like Josh was just saying. Always good to have someone there ready for a follow-up to get the ball in. And chose Welbeck was really on his game today, because that's twice in the last 20 minutes of the game that he was there ready to poach and tap in the, a rebounded ball. And the first time he wasn't there quick enough, but it went in anyway. And the second time he was there on time. So I'm really chuffed for Danny Welbeck. We've all been giving him grief. But remember when we signed Danny Welbeck, we thought, oh my God, we've got this young and upcoming England international. The Man United fans didn't want him to go. He's got a great goal scoring record for England. I think, was it 15 in 30 odd games? This boy is going to be something. And then because of injuries, because of other players coming in, because of tactics, he hasn't done it. But yeah, the only sad thing for him now is that Lacazette's back in training. So as soon as Lacazette's back, he might as well get his big comfy cushion and his sandals and get back on the bench, because he's not going to be playing much.
If he keeps on scoring, you never know. In the box, you've got Yin Yang Guna from Perth, Western Australia. Hello, Yin Yang. We've got Richard Garrett, Pranay Mystery. We've got, I said Daniel Cronin. Seymour comebacks up. He's not happy. Everybody was poor. I'm not even going to try mentioning that. Somebody's got way too many letters in a row there. Estrogen 975 is there. somebody else. Oh, who the hell do I want to mention? Sean Hodges there. Vidalit is there as well. Yeah, on Donnarumma, guys, would you buy him? Dan, you first?
Yes. We won't, Josh? We won't be able to afford him. They'll want 60 odd million for him. He'll break the world record for a goalkeeper. Maybe not 60, maybe 40 or 50. But wow, what a prospect. Only 19. Fuck.
Yeah. He's a Raiola client off the top of my head. Because they were trying to spunk him out for 100 million, I think was last time I saw that. That's the moment. Well, I think let's put it this way, they wanted 100 million for him. And the only reason they signed his brother was to placate him because he wanted out because the ultras went against him last season. But yeah, let's put it this way: for 100 million, and he's 19 now, he's a goalkeeper that can be with you for 10 plus years at the level that he's at. Look at Gigi Buffon. You know, he's 39. You could get him for 20 years, £5 million a season for a world-class goalkeeper. All right, take that if you can get him for like 20 years, and he continues at the rope. Rate he's at.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. It's all relative, isn't it? Richard Garris is there. Abdul Farah's there. Abdul, we know you're always there, pal. You're a top man. Steve-O's there.
He's played 100.
Thunder Road's there.
He's played 113 games for Milan already, and he's only 19.
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
And he was only 19 earlier this month, last month, 25th of February.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that kid and you wonder just how good he's going to be.
He's got a big nose and his eyes are too close together.
Oh, Jesus West. Here we go. Pablo Amar's there as well. Oh, Matt Sanasi was there earlier on. That's who I wanted to mention. Matt Sanasi. Hiya, Matt.
Australia.
Yeah, he is. He's Aussie as well. Done. Jack had a shot saved late on as well, and it was done. It was 3-1. We've won the game. Were you happy with the overall performance
from the team, or from Jack, or from what?
From the team.
Yeah, and I didn't see the last 5 minutes of the game because I was streaming from my phone to the telly, and some tit rang me because some tit had let this tit down. So I didn't see the last 5 minutes of the game, but
let's explain this to the listeners. I mean, 15 minutes for the end of the game, Chris Carpenter strolls into the WhatsApp group.
That's a matter of buy your leave.
Yeah, what's happening? I've just got in after telling me on this week. I can be on the radio show this week. So we move things around for him, and what does the dirty pirate do? He lets us down. And, you know, Ellis, I offered Ellis first. Ellis, to be fair to him, he's got his girlfriend's daughter's birthday tomorrow. He's going to be buying Disney dresses and got an early start.
Is that fair for play? Chris, the dress?
That's for Ellis. Wow. He makes a wonderful Elsa. I've seen
that. Don't knock Ellis. Ellis couldn't make it, though, so it was one of those. But yeah, yes, Thunder Road. The Pirates did lose 10-1 last match. Oh. Let's not forget that. Carpenter out. No. Carpenter out.
They let him down. He needs a clean sweep there.
He needs some sackings there. Some walking the plank needs to be done. Josh, your thoughts on the game? You know, were you happy with the performance? What do you think?
Yeah, it was an exciting game. Let's put it that way. With the amount of when Milan came into it, it wasn't, you know, all our one-way traffic, we should put it that way. It was good to get quite a competitive game and watch Arsenal be competitive in that game as well. So I was really happy with the result. I thought 3-1 might have flattered us a little bit, though, to be honest. Also, because I had 2-1 in the predictions league. So that pissed me off. But otherwise, really good game. Really happy for the team. And we're through to the next round. And there are some interesting teams in the next round.
Be baffled if there'll be your questions on that. Right, guys, we're going to the questions part. That's the game. If you've got any questions, whack them in now and let's get going through that. Srinath Murali. Oh, right, Srinath, I'm going to answer that straight away. Ashley Barnes has signed a new deal with Burnley. Have we missed a trick there? No, he's a cunt.
Why is he?
Did you see him diving? The home game against us, their home game against us, he was diving over like a little bitch. He's horrible. At least Welbeck dives with a bit of panache. You know, there's a different quality of diver in our team.
It's the way that you do it.
Damn right.
To be fair, it's the English players can dive the best. That's what it is. That's Ashley Barnes. Ashley Barnes is missing out.
Let's be fair. When Michael Owen came on the scene, English football took over diving. It's as simple as that.
Did you see that tweet going around where it had Carragher, Gerrard, and Owen? I mean, and Fowler. It had Spitty, Slippy, and Sniffy. Whoever did that, take a bow.
Fantastic. Dan, how's Dino Rod? Is he gone?
Yeah, they were on Colin's on my shared driveway with Colin, and I think they've had a good rodding. I should go and if you flush the toilet at the moment, the bath gurgles, and that's not a good thing. Apparently, Colin did that, and he's got shit all in his hallway, but I haven't.
So your back passage is all cleared out now.
Well, something like a good rodding in your back passage. Yeah. Be it your birthday or not.
Moral of the story, listeners, don't go around to Collins for tea. Okay, Cheboy 72 says, well, Beck bought a lottery ticket and won first prize. He bloody did. Two goals for him. Chuffed a bit for him, to be fair. He works hard and he's had some rewards tonight. Dan, no nickname required, asks, will he be recording the podcast on Tuesday again or on a different day this week?
Well, we've only got one game to talk about, so I think it's going to be Chris, won't turn up, John Shitbeard, Crabby Bollocks, and Jeff Arsenal. Jeff hasn't been avoiding it because we've been losing. Jeff has regained his ute, and he has been all around Europe doing stuff, enjoying himself.
He's been globetrotting, hasn't he?
Oh, he's been getting down to some rare old tunes, like a teenage boy. He's having a gap year. He's having a gap year off his tits.
Love the Jeff Arsenal. Yeah, he's brilliant. Top
Someone man. Said, is he not coming on because we've been doing shit? Well, no. It does look like it, but no, our people have been talking to his people and there's plans have been made.
Let's just say this. Jeff Arsenal doesn't give a damn. He'll turn up whenever. And, you know, everybody likes to stick a knife in now and again, but Jeff's a top man and he will be back. Chris, by the way, Chris Carpenter is the hide and seek champion of ABW. If the Pirates lose, he's not coming on. It's as simple as that. Terrible state of affairs.
Ah, Thunder Road, the one who said it about Jeff. If you don't know, when we do put these on YouTube, you can go and leave comments and Thunder Road and. And there's quite a few of you regular, and I always go in there and I reply, give them a thumbs up, and I reply to most of them when I can. So it's always a good place to go and have a chat. It's usually Thunder Road cunting people off, but I let him get away with it because that's what he does.
Yeah, it's all he ever does. What do you say the other day? If Cardiff City get in the Premiership, I'll be doing AFTV for Cardiff City. Cheeky shit. I hate Cardiff City.
You're a Swansea boy.
I'm an Armandford boy. Let's get something straight. I'm an Armandford boy.
It's all the same to us. It's all gibberish.
Behave yourself. Josh, I've lost what I am now. I don't know what the hell is going on. Jeffrey O'Hara asks, we've already answered it. He asked about Ozil being petulant, Ozil being subbed off. Gav asks, Josh, even if you get Atletico Madrid, do you feel you've moved on from a bad phase and ready to take them on? Or do you think I will luck make them wait to the semi-final?
There's only one team in the available that worry me in the next round.
Yeah.
And it's not even worry. This will be slightly difficult, but we've had harder Champions League draws than come for them, and that is Atletico Madrid. They're the only team that I don't even fear. I'm just a bit like, well, I think we've all said, you know, if you want to win the cup, you've got to beat the best teams. We beat Chelsea in the final last year of the FA Cup, and they were a superior team to us through the rest of the league. So bring them on. Bring on Simeone. And honestly, I don't really fear anyone. It's the semi-final, quarter-final. You're going to end up with a big team. And the only one other than that I'd want to avoid...
I, I, Don't go too far. Next question.
I stopped.
Thank you. Danny, Kevin Urenda asks, who do you want in the next round?
Salzburg. Yeah, because I don't want any of the teams that are far away, and I don't want teams that are going to...
So you've picked the second furthest away team?
Moscow.
Yeah, that's the first furthest away. The second furthest is Austria.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, Austria. And once you're in places like Austria, that's still Central Europe.
Hold up. Isn't Lazio still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's Rome is further away than Salzburg.
He's pretty close. I'll take his point. But I think I'd like someone like that, someone who a big fish in a little pond, because they've got all that Red Bull money. But again, I'd like to see Salzburg play against Rasenball Leipzig, because they're both owned by Red Bull.
Okay, I don't care what you want to do with the other clubs.
Salzburg will do me.
Thank you. Josh, who do you want?
I would like probably Sporting. They're the least racist team.
And they lost tonight.
Fair enough. Envy the chat box. If you can find out where's furthest away, Salzburg or Rome, let's have a bet in it. Salzburg would be fine, but wherever it is,
who
I don't
do you
really
want,
care.
Jace?
I'd Salzburg, to be fair, but I don't really care. You know, you've got to play wherever from here on in.
Somewhere it's nice for the away fans, right?
Well, I'm not going to be going at the moment, so whatever. You know, I'm like that. It's all about me. Chris Lodato put in the box, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That was said by Granit Xhaka and a few others, and he's bloody right. Dan Sexy Bastard asks, what is happening at the summit at the Arsenal? Will it blow your mind? Will we dominate world football?
Yes, Sexy Bastard. I'm sorry, I'm not wearing my hat. He was calling me a Russian in the YouTube chat. No, the YouTube comments section. He was asking where my hat is. So, we're just going to go and dominate it. Oh, Wenger's going to sign a new 5-year deal, and we're going to be playing 6 strikers up front and winning every single game. And Man City will be done for some kind of dodgy dealings. They'll be relegated to the conference. Chelsea will have all their money taken off them because they're Russian. And it'll be a clear pathway for us to be dominant and glorious for at least a week.
Stop and there, ladies and gentlemen, is the ramblings of a lunatic. It's why we love him. It's why we love him. He's off his bloody head. Josh. I think it's Gav again. A feeling of 3 strikers. One cannot play, one is injured, and one is short on confidence. Today, he got his confidence. What are your thoughts on our striking options? Do we give Nketiah a go? Or do you stick with Welbeck at the moment? What do you think?
I think, well, in the league, it's Aubameyang, isn't it? I think that's a given.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way, that there's some decent competition for who's going to play in the Europa League now that Lacazette's back. I don't think Lacazette comes straight back in for that. So there's going to be a really interesting time for Arsene Wenger, certainly, to work out who he's going to play. And this was the thing that when we sold Olivier Giroud in January, we said we might not actually end up seeing was whether or not if Danny Welbeck came good, you'd have this awful problem, which is a good thing, of which striker do you start with? Because you can't put all 3 in. I don't know if you can play 2 of them even. So I would just, I think it's just really good for the club right now. I don't think Nketiah's going to get too much of a look in the rest of the Europa League as that heads to its conclusion, but maybe for a couple of the dead rubber Premier League games against teams that have already got their flip-flops on.
He's going to have to play Lacazette back into fitness as well, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
This is the problem he got. He hasn't played for a while, so Lacazette's going to have to get minutes. He just can't start him next round. So
a little bit of an update for you. The furthest away is Lisbon, which is 1,355 miles. The next furthest away is Rome, 1,160. And the next one is Vienna, which is 916.
Are Vienna in it?
Austria. Vienna is such a small place. Sorry, Vienna. I just thought I'd start with the capital. I don't know where
I'm. Aren't Kiev still in it?
Kiev? No, no, Kiev are out.
I've got the list if you want the teams.
Yeah, read the list.
Okay, so we've got Atletico Madrid, some team called Arsenal, CSKA Moscow, Lazio, Marseille, RB Leipzig, Salzburg, and Sporting.
Let's be fair, okay? In the current climate, nobody wants Moscow. Nobody wants Moscow. That could be nasty.
Too bloody cold, and all of our black players will get murdered. We don't want that. You see all the AC Milan fans, every single one of them male, shaven-headed, look Neanderthal, and were baying for the blood of anybody who wasn't one of their own. I was scared watching the telly, and that's my people I'm talking about.
You pish. You absolute pish. They were joyful.
I don't know what that means.
Do you know what? Do you know what, listeners, okay? Every in the chat box, I'm losing the will to live today. This just degenerates into nonsense every single time. What can we do? Josh, Steve-O asks... Oh, no, sorry, this is Danny. Danny, Steve-O asks, has Sean cleaned the shit up yet?
No, I did a tweet earlier. I didn't do a tweet out because what else can you do with a tweet apart from send it out? I did a tweet earlier listing all the things that she'd done to annoy me, and she doesn't give two fucks. She's at university getting drunk and talking to boys. She doesn't give a shit.
Oh, Jesus wept. Right, do you know what? I'm going to shoot myself in the head after this. This is just getting worse. Has anybody got a question? I've lost the will in there. I don't know what's happening. Looking over the two ties, I'm gonna round this up and finish this off now, guys. Looking over the two ties, does this give the last three wins give us the confidence to go forward and win the Europa League, Josh?
Mate,
you're not on here for a yes, okay? We're here for your dynamic and delightful personality. Well, give me a bit of darkness, please.
Sorry, I didn't want to carpenter it. Well, that's why he's not on.
I'm not being funny. You can't carpenter it. You're here.
You were carpeting internally. You wouldn't be able to. You wouldn't have turned
that up. That's true. I think from the performance and from how bipolar we are between the two competitions we're still in, I think we can, by far and away, go and win the Europa League. No one, as I've said, really am I that fearful for that are left in the competition other than Atletico. But to win it, you've got to beat them. So... whatever, it's fine. I don't mind.
Excellent.
Beating better teams than them.
That's all I got to say. It's John Welsh, I miss you. I miss you, John Welsh. Come back soon, please. These two are doing my head in tonight. Oi,
cheeky.
And to be fair, I think you can quite rightly criticise my presenting skills tonight as well. What a load of crap. We're a bit like the Arsenal a few weeks ago. I do apologise, listeners. Danny, yeah, same question, mate. You know, do you think, you know, this is a turning point for us? Do you think, you know, we can build on this and go forward?
We can definitely build on it. We can definitely go forward. And it's definitely good for the confidence. The league is over. The one-man team, he's out for the rest of the season. Man United are on their arse. So I don't think we're going to be able to catch up to fourth. But my only thing I want this season is Spurs to finish fourth, us to win the Europa League, and then thus take them out of the Champions League. That would be, for me, better than winning the Europa
that
League.
That doesn't happen, mate. That doesn't happen.
That is what's going to happen, Jace.
No, it's not. If we win the Europa League and they finish fourth, we get five teams in the Champions League. That's what happens.
Well, I want them to finish fifth then.
That's fine.
Either way, I've got some brown envelopes. I'm busy stuffing them full of Euros. I will make this happen, Jace. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Put your head about it.
Top man, I'll get the pesos ready.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, God, guys. Anybody, Fly KJ, you're correct. John Welsh has got a shit beard. He's a terrible bloke. That's it. All right. Somebody asked about Aaron Ramsey's operation. I do apologize. I forgot to take your name down. I think it's a groin. It's a little procedure of the groin. It's nothing too massive. Should be back quite soon. Well, touch wood, because you never know with the Arsenal. It's been a decent night, guys. Another win. We're through to the next round. you know, this week we saw a lot of people fall out of Europe. Watching Alexis Sanchez lose the ball all that many times is a thing of beauty. You know, the fucking dog nonce. Fuck him. Watching Chelsea got is great. And watching Tottenham get spanked is just beautiful. So happy days. Guys, we're only on 80 likes. Come on. Come on. Give us some likes, please. Let's get on with this. Fly KJ, he's not having a sex change. He's in Birmingham. He'd probably prefer a sex change. No doubt of that. Yeah, let's have some more likes, please. And yeah, if you can give us an iTunes review, we would really appreciate that. My thanks to you, Danny. You're a top man. Hero of the day.
Well, not quite. That was Jack Wilshere.
Okay, fair enough. Jesus wept. Fanboy GFB. I can't believe
that
it.
That annoy you at all. I wouldn't.
I know. She just loved poking the bear. Josh, as ever, thank you very much, mate.
Yeah, I'm glad I could be the reliable one of the group between me and Chris today.
Look, I'm not being funny. Lord Lucan is reliable in comparison to Chris, okay? You know, for crying out loud, you know, there he is. By the way, everybody go to Chris Carpenter's Instagram page. There, he's got more selfies than a teenage girl. It's absolutely
new suit,
terrible.
New boots, new haircut.
He is the rhinestone cowboy. He's the rhinestone cowboy. It's terrible. It's a terrible business. Yes, this week's podcast is out. We have Shovel, the drummer from M People, on there. He was absolute top quality. Absolute top quality, guys. The guy knows his football, he knows his music, and he's an utter gentleman. Lovely, lovely guy. Really enjoyed doing that. A lot of fun. Next week we have, I think it's Chris Carpenter, Jeff Arsenal, and John Welsh on. And it'll be on Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a little bit of a gap now to the next game. I can't remember when it is. I couldn't give a monkeys. We're going to have a nice little break on ABW Radio. So if I don't see your names on 5-star iTunes reviews, you will be named and shamed. You know who you are in the chat box. You're a bad bunch of buggers.
Our next game is April the 1st, home to Stoke.
Oh, Jesus wept. April the 1st at home to Stoke.
On a Sunday at 1:30.
Playing on Easter Sunday. For God's sake.
Fuck my life. Fuck my life. Hey, guys, it's been a pleasure. Danny, switch this nonsense off. Take care of yourselves, guys. Keep it Arsenal and keep on smiling. Wenger in. Welbeck for England. Jack Wilshere's the biggest hero ever to play in the Premier League. We love it all.